Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I've been sitting in front of my Bible reading several passages attempting to prepare this message this morning. And I've decided it's not my message, but it's God's word that I am to deliver. Paul says in the 20th verse of the second chapter of Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Now, this letter to the Galatians is written somewhere around 56 A.D. Christ died 36 A.D. How is Paul making this statement, I am crucified with Christ? That's what we're going to explore today, but let's give the rest of the word. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, Paul tells us in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. In Romans 1, 17, even before that, Paul says, in the 15th verse, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that's faithing. Faith, pistuo, in the Greek. It's much more than belief. It is an action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. Check me out. Go to any concordance. The establishment is not going to give you the whole of the meaning of the word pisteos, but I have, with all confidence. To everyone that's faithing, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, where? In the gospel is, now King James says, the righteousness. No, it is a righteousness. For therein is a righteousness of or from God revealed. From faith to faith, ek pistios eis piston. The pistios, faith, that which we generate For unto every man is a measure of faith given. Ice to piston. It's a derivative of pisteos. It is in the accusative. It is something, when something is in the accusative voice, it's something that is done from without to. That is the faith of the Son of God. Romans 3. Paul now is going to explain that second word from faith to faith, that piston word, is going to tell us about that piston. 21st verse. But now, and again, strike out the, it, there's no definite, there is no definite article. It is, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I could go on, but this is not the subject today. Even a, again, a righteousness of God, which is, now I'm going to read the King James and then go back and talk about this a little bit. Even a righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that are faithing. It's a participial word in the Greek. Faithing. Faithing. We walk by faithing, not by sight. My pastor, my gift from God to the church of Jesus Christ, read about that in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. In his series on the book of Romans, spent about 8 hours exegeting this 22nd verse. 8 hours. And he points out, going to the earliest manuscripts that we have, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, 4th century manuscripts, that the phrase is by definite article, the faith of Jesus Christ. Dr. Scott, at the age of 72 years old, taught himself. He was an expert in Greek and Hebrew, in the Greek and Hebrew languages. But he taught himself multiple languages for this point. He went to the Ethiopic. He went to the Arabic. He went to the Hebrew. He went to the Syriac, which was a dialect that Peter and several of the apostles spoke. And in all of them, these are scriptures translated from earlier scriptures than the Sinaiticus or Vaticanus, 4th century. And they read virtually the same, wherein, and I love those languages, because they say, which is by the Amen of Jesus Christ, which is by the Amenuto Amen of Jesus Christ. Now, in the 5th century, the Alexandrinus comes along. Now we're, you know, over 400 years from Christ's life and death on this earth, and man gets a chance to have his own say, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone's gone to his own ways. And all of a sudden, in the Alexandrinus, it says, by faith in Christ. I pointed this out before. It's extraordinary how many in the church teach this verse and so many other verses the way they do, where they say, by faith in Christ. You know what that does? That puts what I can do, that puts what you can do, that puts what these fools think they can do above what Christ has made available to us. God is not looking for helpers. He's looking for those who will trust him. And those who do, it's a gift of God. It's not of yourselves, as the Ephesian letter says. I want to hammer home the point. Eternal life, salvation, is a work of God, not a work of man. In that 4th chapter of Romans, it says, 4th verse, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God is indebted to no man. But Paul goes on and says, but to him that worketh not, but is faithing on him that justifieth, that righteousifies, is the word, the ungodly, like me, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. We could spend hours on these next verses, 22 through 27, but I'm going to go straight to the 28th verse of the third chapter of Romans, wherein Paul says, therefore, we conclude, and that word conclude in the Greek is in the middle voice, for ourselves, for our benefit, that a man is righteousified by faith, and that faith is of Jesus Christ, is of the Son of God, without the deeds of the law. Now, back to where we started with Paul in this Galatian letter. I'm crucified with Christ. It's a paradox, folks. Things in the Christian life are paradoxes. Jesus said, you go up by going down. You get by giving. You live by dying. How can Paul say, I'm crucified with Christ? Thing took place 24 years before Paul wrote this letter. And he was around to write the letter. Therefore, is it true that he was crucified, that we might say that we are crucified with Christ? How is it possible? Well, let me see if God's word will answer this astounding statement. We go to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Third verse says, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The King James translators, the way they translated this, somehow or other, might suggest that we're giving a blessing to God. And the word blessed here is eulogia. And what it says is the good speaking God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, let's dig a little deeper into that phrase. According as he has chosen, it's one word in the Greek, exelexitos. There are three parts in this word, ek. Out from, before, Lagos speaking has to do with speaking And tos, exalexitos, it makes it this word, this verb in the middle voice, and the middle voice gives us the reason behind the action, and the reason is for the one having done or doing the action. In other words, according as he that is God has chosen out from among those he did not choose, and he did it, he's doing it, he did it for himself, in him, in who? In Christ. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you out from among those he did not choose, and he did it for himself, and he did it in Christ. That means God puts us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that means we were in Christ when Christ was crucified. And it's now a new life. That's the life Paul's describing. He says, not yet, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the third chapter of the Ephesians, it says, Christ is formed in our hearts by faith. We take the first step. God completes it. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace, the unmerited favor of God. I went to an old friend, James Stewart. His book, A Man in Christ, and on page 143, he begins, here we are at the very nerve center of Paul's great thought of election. We shall never understand this doctrine as it appears in the epistles until we realize it runs back to the personal experience of a man who, by the fact of his conversion, discovered himself to be elected by God, marked out by divine decree for service and ambassadorship. He has chosen us in him, in Christ, Stewart says, before the foundation of the world. Predestination, in this aspect, is just another name for grace. It is safe to say that if Paul's interpreters had always kept this personal background adequately in view, many of the enormities of interpretation which have overshadowed the whole idea of election, making it productive of misgiving and even of misery for thousands of pious souls, could never have been perpetrated. What Paul is really trying to do is not to suggest misgivings, but to remove them. He is bidding anxious souls reflect that, Stuart says, that their religion, I would say, that their faith stands in the last resort not upon their choice of Christ, but upon Christ's choice of them. What a note of ringing confidence. He seems to say, the fact ought to impart your personal faith. He goes on. He says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He declares, as Dr. Moffat strikingly translated, God never backs up upon his call, a statement which every doubting soul in the 20th century, as in the first, would do well to ponder. Ye are called to be saints, he tells his converts, as though to say, let no doubt from within, no criticism from without, destroy your quiet confidence, or make you question the reality of the experience that has come to you. It is the eternal will and decree of God, nothing less, on which your life rests. It is the same magnificent confidence generated by a personal experience of Christ which breathes through his words to the Corinthians. As I hold this ministry by God's mercy to me, I never lose heart in it. His own moods might change. Feelings might come and go. Difficulties that he had never bargained for might suddenly crowd in upon his path. But behind all that stood God. And God's word was rock. And he could no more question the validity of his apostleship. I would say to you, you should no more question your validity of being in Christ than he could doubt, than you can doubt the truth of God himself. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Not only does God give grace, unmerited favor, but he gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus had one promise from God that if he would do this, that is, give himself up for all that God might have the family that he intended when he first made Adam and Eve. One promise that if he would do this, God would raise him up and give him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and earth and under the earth would bow. That is, to give complete reverence and respect to him. And that's the God School for today.